Welcome to BrainMachineNetwork.com.
I'm Emily Winter, a writer, comedian, and your host of Comedians with Ghost Stories.
Today on the podcast, Srilatha Rajamani. Welcome.
How? Thank you so much for having me here.
Thank you for doing it. So I am so excited to hear your ghost story. Where does it take place?
At my family's home in Tamil Nadu, southern India.
Amazing. Okay.
Okay. So this was when I was 13, which is like around, oh my God, it's 30 years old. So old. But I lived in Bombay with my, you know, with my family. But my dad was raised by his relatives in South India.
Okay.
So like his grandparents. So he would always go like... By default, every summer we had to go to the family home in our village and spend like our entire summer vacation there. And me and my brother, we just didn't like it.
Okay.
Like all the kids go to places and we had to go to the family home and like play with cows, you know.
It wasn't glamorous.
It wasn't glamorous. Also, as I was one of the few people, you know, if in my family who was like living in Bombay, so my cousins would like, and I looked different, like I wore different clothes, not the traditional, you know, people. This was before TV was widespread in India, so like every place had like people wearing different types of clothes.
Oh, South that's Indian, so interesting.
And South Indian clothing style was like the full skirt with like the thing, you know, the, and I would be wearing like city clothes, which wasn't like fashionable or anything.
Yeah,
but just, you know, my family is pretty conservative, but I still wore like the salwar kameez, which is more the North Indian style, because Bombay is...
Can you describe that?
Salwar kameez is sort of like a tunic.
Okay.
That is a kameez, and then those loose pants. I mean, I see those types of pants now at all the... You know,
in Brooklyn, Soho, absolutely. Yeah. I have some.
Yeah, and that's like the old style. And I, well, now it's coming back, I guess. So, but they would make fun of me, and I was a city girl, so they would like okay. One time, my cousins tricked me into like milking a bull calf because I didn't know the difference between male and female calf.
I know,
so mean, right? And I got, you know, so it was
what all... happened when you tried to milk it.
That was my first hand job to a mammal. It was not funny. It was humiliating, right?
So
this particular episode happened at that, you know, like that trip when I gave the hand job to the bull calf and I was seething with revenge motives. And so, you know, when my male cousins were like taking a bath in the well, you know, the house was old. So there's a center courtyard where there is a well.
Okay.
And this part of the house is where people live, and after the well, the other side of the house is where they store grains, and beyond that there is a cow shed. It's a very old traditional house.
Okay.
Like several centuries old. So when they were taking a bath in the well, I went to the place where the grains were stored, and it was on the second floor, and I just like yelled nasty comments. I mean, I have seen a bull calf, so I know I can make... I mean, really, I can compare in ways which I didn't know at that time. In retrospect, if I time travel, I will go back and make all kinds of penis jokes. But at that time, I didn't. I was just like yelling stuff. And my mother then punished me like a public spanking.
Oh, God.
I know.
It gets worse and worse. Yeah.
Right. Right. And I got so mad that I just took my book and I ran back to the grain part of the house was a different, you know, it was like I ran to the third floor, which is like no one ever went. It's where they stored like all the, you know, like ex surplus of farm, you know, like the grains, the pumpkins, and those kinds of things were stored. And that was like, surprisingly, for even now when I go there, I can see it. It is so close to the roof, but that part of the house is always the coldest.
Okay.
So I was there that afternoon. I must have like, I was reading my book, and that room was like super cold, but it was nice and comfy in the afternoon. And I was like, I hate my whole family, so I'm going to be here and they will miss me.
Bunker down. Yeah.
Yeah. So I did that, and I must have gone to sleep. And when I like, I don't know what, but something, it was just weird. I don't know if I woke up or if I was in the middle of the sleep and wake up stage, but I saw this presence, like this person, this female. I mean, like basically, she just looked, her attire was very old style. Uh-huh. And it's just that she was wearing diamonds, like she had diamonds on both sides of her nose. And
oh my God.
She was dressed like a bride, you know, like completely like, you know, and I wasn't scared at that point. But then she approached me and then she was carrying like a sort of a sickle.
Okay.
She approached me and then she basically like slashed me like right in my abdomen.
She slashed you?
Yes, that was what I saw, imagined, felt, whatever, yeah. My dream, something. And I screamed and I woke up and I was sort of clammy and wet down there. And then I turned on, the light was just one of those 40 watt bulbs, you know?
Yeah.
Not, and I just like, I could see something dark in that. I didn't know what was going on. I ran out. It was still daylight outside. And I saw that I had blood down there. So either it was a ghostly visitation or I had my first period. I don't know what. But I didn't know then. I was screaming and I just like, I literally, it seems I lost consciousness. I think you would be scared if you were slashed by a ghost.
Absolutely.
So they tell me that I lost consciousness and then I somehow, you know, I was taken back to the, you know, main part of the house.
So what was your, when you got cut, where was the blood coming from?
My pants were filled with it was like my underwear had blood in it.
Okay.
And I didn't have any physical cut in my body, but I just had blood everywhere.
Oh, so was it your period?
It, because after that, I didn't get my period for nearly a year.
So that's so weird.
It is. And then I was scared for the rest of that, you know. I was basically like, it seems I had like fever for 3 days after that.
And, oh my gosh.
And so I was, you know, they were like, you know, I had basically, you know, it was a village. So they had to bring the doctor from the city and, you know, all of that. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. And then because I was scared after that and crying a lot, my grandmother then told me the story. So that is a story behind this ghost.
Oh my God.
So my great grandfather, which is like on my father's side, my father's grandfather, apparently he got married to this beautiful woman from like another town. Mm-hmm. It was an arranged marriage like it had, you know, in those days. And during the 10 days of their wedding celebration, everybody came and those, you know, our weddings go on even now for 3 days. Those days It was like 10 days, right?
Amazing.
So people used to come and see her, and because she was so beautiful, there was a lot of jealousy as well. She came from a rich, beautiful, mm-hmm. you know, very beautiful woman. So people, it seems, started like talking stuff about her, like, you know, she's promiscuous and she had a lover and those kinds of things. And over, you know, during those 10 days of the wedding celebrations, that talk went on and on until it reached my great grandfather's ears. Mm-hmm. So on their wedding night, he apparently denounced her. Yeah. And so she, was so ashamed and, you know, so angry about it that she basically killed herself. And as she was dying, she slashed herself with a sickle because apparently that is available in all farms.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you just got chills.
Yeah. Oh. So then as she's dying, she curses and says, you know, you doubted me and you, you know, you just made, you know, this, you caused this to happen. You dishonored me and my family. So I'm cursing you and your family that until my blood is avenged by the death of another woman in this family, you will never be able to, you know, no one in this family will ever be able to marry and have a child. And this family line is cursed. And she's apparently said that, and she died.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Yeah. So my great-grandfather, after that, it seems he was very regretful and all that. But, you know, asshole that he is, he still wanted to propagate the family line, I mm-hmm. guess. So he married 2 times after that, and both times the brides died before, you know, the wedding night. Like, they died just the day of the wedding or the day after the wedding.
How did they die?
I don't know.
Oh my God.
So and the messed up part of this, and as I'm thinking about it, I feel like my family should never exist, is because he married like 2 sisters. Like one sister died and then the family sent another daughter to be married to him, and that one also died. So now everyone is like, oh my God, that lady who died, she must have been like a truly, you know, powerful person, a good person, because her words carry so much weight. We have to do something. And for many years after that, no one would give their daughter to my great-grandfather to be married.
Oh,
obviously.
Yeah. You're just, it's a death sentence.
Yeah.
Holy
Even, you
smokes.
Know, when women are not valued, I think that was still a pretty big deal at that time. So after that, then they approached a saint after many years, like, this family line has to go on. What do? We have property. This needs to be taken care of by the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
So then they spoke to a holy man, like a saint, who said, the curse can only be lifted if this man, you know, kills the person he marries. So that, which is so messed up. So that person who killed herself, her, you know, thirst for revenge then gets settled, because when she killed herself, she became a murderer of herself.
Okay.
So this person needs to, you know, also commit the same crime so he can, I don't know what the logic is.
So this like religious figure told your great grandfather to kill his own
needs to
bride.
Marry somebody and kill the bride with his own hands. So after that, the next person he married. Yeah, I know. But obviously, it's like a female. Like, there is always a loophole in all of these, I think. So
they don't care that much.
Yeah, no, but well, in this case, a loophole was a saint said, so what you need to do is marry a female of this female species, so it can be. Like, you know, like a female, like a cow, which we can't because we are Hindus, you
can't
know?
Yeah. Kill cows, right.
So what they had to do was my great-grandfather then had to marry a virgin banana tree. Virgin because, you know, obviously Indian men, even when you want to kill a female species, it needs to be a virgin. Right. So he married a banana tree.
Oh my gosh.
And then cut down that banana tree to fulfill the curse. And after that, he married the person who became my great-grandmother.
Oh, my God.
Right. So that, so my grandmother, like, told me the story in like, you know, and I truly, like, okay, it's so unfair. All other people get, like, wealth or beauty or something from their ancestors. I get a period, like, that's so unfair. I am very resentful.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. So, holy cow. So she, like, gave you an early period. That was, like, the meanest thing she could do or something?
I don't know. But my grandmother also then gave me, a silver. Do you know what a kumkum is?
No.
It's like a red powder that you get. It's like a sacred, like, the ashes and the powder. Those are, like, two things you get as gods. From the temple. It is made of turmeric, but it's red.
Okay.
So she gave me a silver box, which belonged to that lady. Apparently, because even though she died, all her property remained with the family, pieces of shit that
God.
We are. So that silver box, which has two compartments, it's just small in the shape of a peacock. And it has like, you can place the kumkum and the sacred, you know, ash, the vibhuti on each. And my grandmother gave it to me and said, this will protect you. You don't have to worry and be afraid. So I still have that silver box that belonged to her.
Do you have it like in New York in your apartment?
No, it's at my parents' bank locker because I didn't bring jewelry or anything. I'm at a thing where unless I know where it is sourced, I'm not carrying any of this.
Yeah.
So and I've been like moving a lot. So I just kept my, like I have that lady's diamond as well. Like she had blue diamonds apparently that was split among like I think my great grandfather had my grandfather and then two girls, but my grandfather fulfilled his duty to the family by having eight kids, so it's been spread out. But I have like the diamond that belonged to her as well as this, and it's just the weirdest ghost story.
Oh my gosh, so when your grandmother told you this, how did you react at the time when you were 13?
We didn't even have TV at home. I'd never seen movies. So for me, it was extremely fantastical.
Yeah.
It was sort of like all those books I'd been reading, like, you know, like the British horror books that I used to read from the school library. That was like, you know, old school horror even. So it was like, whoa. And then I knew that my grandmother wouldn't lie. So she believed it. But as I was growing older, I used to think a lot. I mean, I could think every month about this. Every time I got my period, I would think about it.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I know that my great-grandfather married a banana tree. Even now at every family But at every family occasion, the banana tree is like literally given a place of honor at all.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I love that.
So I know that. I don't know if the ghost existed. I know someone died very unjustly, so I'm still feeling guilty about all of that.
Well, it's so fascinating that you had this vision, and then exactly what you saw was the story.
It's just weird. And I don't know if my grandmother made... I mean, I don't think she did. She was a very truthful person, but
yeah.
I still question, because I'm very skeptical about all of these things. I grew up with a lot of, like, you know, superstition, so mm-hmm. I try not to fall into that. But I know that I can still recall her face, you know? So I'm just like, I saw something. I don't know what the history is, but I know that I saw, maybe I was, like, I was reading, like, a comic book, like Phantom, which is like a comic, like mm-hmm. a superhero type comic we used to get in India. So it wasn't necessarily like I was reading anything mythological even.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, I know what I saw. I still can think of her face, but
oh my God.
I don't know if this is true.
Holy smokes. That's amazing. Wow. Do you feel like you were just in the sort of right place at the right time, or the wrong place at the wrong time? Or do you feel like you are specifically... I don't know, a medium, or like have that sort of gift of,
like, I still wouldn't put past my cousins to, like, you know, play a trick on me. But I don't think we had technology at that time to create an apparition.
No, absolutely not.
I don't know. I mean, I feel weird about the whole thing if I think about it. And I also feel very weird that I have an ancestor who's a banana tree. You know, that's just, it's just, I try to make jokes about it.
I was going to say, do you talk about this on stage?
I have. Like, I've done, sometimes I do talk about it. But it's just a thing that no one can really relate. Do you have an ancestor? Like, unless it's an Indian audience. Like, you know, they have, like, married trees before. Many Indians have married trees and... You know, it's not like it's a unique thing. Like,
I did not know this.
Well, it's pretty common among, I mean, not that they do it now, but.
Why would somebody marry a tree, though?
If they, a tree is a female, right?
Yeah.
So it's just, so I think the way I've understood is that it goes into like the Hindu culture, mm-hmm. Which is that the form of life is the same across species. Like, we don't see the difference between... an animal life, mm-hmm. and like a plants have life. We, you know, they have gender. We don't see the difference between the forms of life. The Atma is the same across different species.
So what do you get out of marrying a tree, though? Like, I mean, listen, there's a lot of people that I think are way worse than marrying a tree, that I'd rather be married to a tree than a lot of people that I know.
But it's a curse thing, right? You can't marry a person and kill them.
Yes, okay.
So it's a murder. I mean...
But is it when people do marry trees, was it always like in relation to a curse?
Yeah, like, okay. Even now, like, there are people, like even about 2 years ago, I know someone who married a fox. In the village, so they could get rain.
Oh,
so there are still things cool like that. Like, it's not like they do. It's not like it's bestiality.
Right.
As much as it's like a fulfilling religious, requirement, I guess. So people still do that. So I'm glad that at least, I mean, if my grandfather married a cow or something, I would have been like, super weirded out by... I mean, I know I'm lactose intolerant, but still, it would be super weird.
A tree is better, for
a
sure.
A tree is better.
So he felt really bad about this, like, about denouncing his first wife, or not even first wife, the woman.
Yeah, he must have felt bad. So, basically, I was pretty young when he died. Like, I was maybe five or six years old when he died. So, I always saw him, like... Oh, he looked very scary. Like, mm-hmm. he just would be fierce all the time. And, you know, and he was very strict. But he was also strict with himself.
Okay.
So he never left the village after that. And, I think he put a little bit of punishment on himself as well. And, he would never, he just gave up all trappings of, like, wealth. Like, he wouldn't wear anything. Like, with gold or, like, silk or anything. He just wore... Like,
simple.
Very simple clothes. He never left the village. And I think he spent his life with some regrets.
Yeah.
Which I don't know. Like, I only knew him as this But my family is, you know, and he gave up a lot of his wealth. Like he gave it away, like he gave it to the temple and he gave it to charity. He just, so kind of maybe, yeah, I think he must have had regrets.
Yeah. Wow. That's an amazing story. Thank you so much for telling it. That's awesome. Because this is Comedians with Ghost Stories, I've been asking everyone, what do you think is the scariest thing in comedy? Could be right now, could be generally.
Me personally or comedy in general?
Either for you or just in all of comedy.
For me personally, I'm very afraid of people. Mm-hmm. So every time I'm going up on stage, it's always like, it's not that what I'm going, I'm not afraid of offending people because I don't necessarily have that in me yet. Mm-hmm. Maybe a few years in New York and I will get that. But more like, I always am afraid when I go up on stage that will I be able to make them laugh? Mm-hmm. Because I just feel like if people are coming to see a show and they don't, and they're not able to laugh, it's basically, it is then on me for sure, you know? Mm-hmm. That's how I feel. And I always feel regretful if I can't, you know, make them laugh. So my fear is, will I be able to connect with the people enough that I can, you know, and I'm a weird person, so I don't connect with a lot of people. Like,
but I think it's that weirdness that is also like very endearing, you know? I mean, I feel like I am not that weird. I'm pretty boring.
I feel that I am that too. Like I spend my time, I mean, the most rebellious thing I did was I had to go to Japan like in August, and I couldn't tell work because it was a very last minute thing. I was going for my daughter's, you know, she needed basically my presence and my credit history.
Okay.
She wanted to find an apartment.
Renting an apartment in Japan? Yeah. And wow.
She's
amazing.
Working there now. So
amazing.
She needed me and I had to go and I couldn't tell work because it was very last minute. So I basically, I work from remote, so I couldn't, we clock in mm-hmm. electronically. I used a VPN to pretend I'm from New York to clock in.
Good that
for is like
you.
The most wicked. I feel so, I'm boring. And I watch British Bake Off on Netflix,
oh, yeah.
you know, overnight. And that is like the wickedest thing I do. Like I look, it's not that I don't know. I'm weird in that sense that I'm not interesting enough to like, oh, I don't even have sex stories. You know?
The bread and butter of comedy. Yeah.
Right. I don't know. I always worry that what I have, and I like Korean, I mean, everybody talks about Korean pop now, you know, like, or mm-hmm. like whatever, but I've been liking it for the past 10 years. So it's just like, I was weird for 10 years.
And now your weirdness is paying off. You know everything about Korean pop.
I know. I could do a presentation on like, you know, Korean pop and educate everybody. But I don't know. I mean, I don't feel like the weirdness I have necessarily translates into how I can connect with people. I don't know if I have the skills yet to, or whether if I will ever have that. But, you know, when people come to see me, even if it's like, you know, in a bar or like even if it's like, you know, a free show, mm-hmm. you know, but they still come there. And that is, it's a mark of, you know, for me, it's like, it's like they are honoring me with that, you know,
their presence.
And I feel like if my jokes don't land, and it's always a scary thing, whether your jokes land or mm-hmm. not, that's for all comics. But in a way, I feel like if it doesn't, it's always going to be my fault. And that scares me. Every time I go up on stage, I feel like throwing up.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm a nervous pooper and I always poop before shows, so I kind of get it.
Ah, yeah, that too. I don't eat and I usually wear like, one point I wore like an adult diaper to.
What?
Don't, oh my God, I hope no one listens to this.
I could take that out if you want.
Like I did a show at like a Butter Boy. I didn't know Butter Boy was that big a deal.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
So when I did that, before I went, they were like, oh my God. And I got so nervous, I actually wore an adult diaper because I was like, if I pee, I want it to be not.
Dude, I had a similar thing. I was on the Today Show this year, and I wore black pants because I was like, I was thinking that, and then like I was sitting in the chair and I was about to be interviewed, and I was like, I'm gonna pee in my pants. And I just kept telling myself like, if you pee, just don't freak out. Don't move, because you're not going to be able to tell on camera. You're wearing black pants. You can deal with it on the other side of the interview and be like, hey, I peed in this chair, which would be terrible, but at least it's not on television.
Yeah.
So I totally get it. But that is, wow, holy, how did your set go at Butterboy?
It went well, I think.
I'm sure it did. Yeah.
It went well. I mean, I went maybe a month later and to see another show, and somebody in the audience recognized me, and they complimented me, and I was like, oh yeah, right.
Amazing. Did you tell them that you wore an adult diaper?
I didn't.
Do you want me to take that out, or can I leave it in?
It's a mark of pride, I guess.
Think it's,
I
mean, awesome.
It's not like I'm not used to wearing an adult diaper. I go to see, you know, Korean pop concerts a lot. We have to stand in line for several hours or even like an entire day. If you're going to be in the pit, right, uh-huh. You have to go way ahead. And why do that makes me sound even weirder now. Okay. I'm committed to this now. So I have worn adult diapers to see BTS in the past. Okay.
I love it. And you have nothing to talk about on stage. Come on. This is hilarious. This is amazing.
I can't do this. I mean, New York scares the crap out of me. I've talked about this in Boston in story shows.
Yeah.
But New York is scary. I mean, it's people are so good here. Like, everyone is so good. That I'm just like, if I'm booked in a show, I want to be not the suckiest person.
I know. Yeah. You want to be the best. I mean, yeah.
I don't want to be, I'm not having, like, my dream is to not even, like, you know, have industry or anything. I just, like, I would like to not be the suckiest person at a show that I'm booked.
And I'm sure you're not. You did our 64 comedian thing in Boston, and you were awesome. And that is how I learned to say your name. Because I had to say it so many times because you kept returning to the stage.
That was a fun show. I've never done one-liners, and that was just like...
You were great at it. Well, thank you so much for doing the podcast. Where can people find you if they want to follow your work?
I only post about Korean pop and baking shows, but I don't bake. I don't know anything about baking. My oven has got like old pizza boxes because all my dogs things. But my Instagram is Srilata Sauce.
Can you spell it?
S as in Sandra, R as in Richard, I, L as in London, A, T as in Thomas, H, A, Sauce, S-A-U-C-E.
Amazing. Great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to Comedians with Ghost Stories. I really hope you liked it. I'm obsessed with these stories and these people. If you enjoyed it, you maybe should come to our live show. We're doing a live show of Comedians with Ghost Stories on Halloween night at 9:30 at Caveat. You can go to caveat.nyc to get a ticket. Also, if you enjoyed this, you can kick us a couple bucks. Just Venmo me at Emily-Winter. What that does is it helps pay for my Podomatic Pro account, which is a little pricey, and I need it for all the downloads. So thank you so much for supporting this podcast. I really do appreciate it. You can find me, Emily Winter, at emilywintercomedy.com and on Instagram and Twitter at Emily McWinter. That's Emily MC Winter because my middle name is McKenna. Anyway, keep listening. I hope you liked it. Have a great day. Oh my gosh. That was a dumb ending. Okay. Thank you. Okay.